You guys are excited for the quiz, right? Yeah, we don't have a quiz today. One quiz question. That's it. That's all we get. Is Jesus alive? Amen. Amen. That's it. He is risen. All right. Praise the Lord. So today we're gathered as the church to come today on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, to acknowledge, to celebrate, to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our personal Lord and Savior. He is risen. Okay, it's a test. He is risen. Amen. We're going to have many more, so be ready. You got to pay attention. All right. Today, we will have communion together. I'm really excited. So, as a reminder, also just please prepare yourselves in your hearts for this time after the message. Now, last week, as we know, was what's known as Passover. And this was the festival that the Jewish people would observe as commanded by God to observe their freedom that they were given from the Egyptians, as the Lord freed them from their slavery. And this week, we know within the Christian faith, there has been several other very important celebration and great meaning to all of us. Last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus entered in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, fully knowing and understanding what he was facing and why he was there. The cross, to be crucified, to be given as a sacrifice for our sin. 3 days ago, we celebrated what is known as Good Friday, the day that Jesus allowed himself to take his sins upon himself, being crucified, placed on the cross. Today, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Different names some people use. I'm just fine with Easter. There's some that like to call it Resurrection Sunday. That's what it is. But Easter, Resurrection Sunday, it's amazing. On this day, again, we acknowledge and we profess that Jesus is risen. Indeed. All right. So now all of us here today, through faith, join in this victory, in this resurrection, defeating sin and death, and inheriting eternal life. So today, as we all come together as a church to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, I would like to explain, it's a Bible lesson a bit today to begin with, but I think it's important if we're going to understand what Jesus has done, the resurrection. I think we need to make sure that we also can have a clear understanding of a few things first. The first one I want to look at today is, who is God? The second one is, who is man? Who is each one of us? The third one we're going to look at is, what is sin? The fourth one then, who is Jesus? And then, number five, what did Jesus do? And I think as we talk about the resurrection, I think it's important for us to do a quick Bible lesson before we get into this, because we know, we're saying, he is risen. Is risen indeed. But we need to go back just a minute and have a Bible lesson and answer these questions. And it's a great reminder for all of us as we celebrate the resurrection to remember these things. So let's start to help us better understanding the resurrection and what it means to us today. Let's start by answering some of these questions that I have presented. Let's start with the first question I gave you is, who is God? Now that's a big question, but I think we can begin by just going right to Scripture, going to Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we know in the first verse in the Bible that God is a creator of all things in existence, including space and time. We also know, as we would look through God's word, that he is omnipresent. This means His presence is everywhere at the same time. It's a big word. God is everywhere at the same time, in every place. Also, as we look at the question who God is, we should know that God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end. His existence is never ending. He is immortal. He is infinite. So we're defining who God is. Also, another big word that we use and throw around, he's omniscient. You're like, what's that mean? I can't even say the word hardly correctly. He's all-knowing. This is important as we talk about the resurrection. We know who God is. He knows the past, the present, the future. He knows every one of our thoughts at any given moment, even right now, today. Because when we talk about Jesus dying for our sins and the resurrection, we need to know he knows us and who he is. We also know that God is all-powerful. He can do anything that pleases him. He's sovereign, he's supreme, and we know he is righteous. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. Now, this God that we're learning about here very quickly has made himself known to us, to all of us. He's revealed himself through the Bible to each one of us that we have today. We have God's word, and we know God is the author of this word. And he also reveals himself to us through his Holy Spirit, which is all present and all around us. He also, it says in the Bible, through creation itself, he will reveal himself to the world. So we just, a little quick Bible lesson. We're going to continue to define and understand who God is, because I believe it's important to take some time and just remember the God that we serve. Now, the next one, question I asked is, who man is? Who are we? We learn who God is. Now, who are we? I like going back, right back to Genesis again. Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. We are created beings made by God. We could continue in Genesis. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are made in God's image. So we learn a little more now who we are. We are created beings by God, created in his image. But we also then have to learn to my next question, that we have a problem, don't we? And we can see in Romans 5:12, and it takes us in Romans back again to Genesis. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So now we know who we are. And sometimes that's a little bit hard for some people to kind of accept that we each are sinners from birth. We're born into sin because of Adam bringing the sin into the world. And we also know the sin has consequences, which is death. Sin also, we know, is what separates us from God, because he's a righteous God. We learned that God is righteous. So if God is righteous, he cannot be in the presence of sin. So it separates us from God. And we know that sin is anything contrary to the law or the will of God. But another thing about this, sin. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we do, we ourselves do not have the ability to rid ourselves of sin and its consequence. We are powerless. But praise the Lord, we have hope in Jesus. Amen. He is the answer to this sin problem. So we need to understand my next thing, who Jesus is. If we're going to talk about the resurrection, we need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. We need to know who Jesus is. And what he did, and what exactly we are celebrating today. So we know Jesus is God. Let's be very clear. Jesus is God. And he was sent by God to us as God's one and only begotten Son. And we know also Jesus was sinless. He was the perfect Lamb. He was the only one that could pay our debt that we had. The price of our sins. Salvation, we know, is only through faith in Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is our hope. Amen? So I briefly gave you a quick Bible lesson to start. But I think it's important it's Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday. We need to understand what our faith is based in and who God is, who we are, who Jesus is, and what he's done. And also, as we get going, I just want to share a very small minute about my personal testimony. Because this was a great Bible lesson, right? And many of us, maybe some of you grew up in the church. Maybe some of you are brand new to the church, even the last few weeks. I personally believed that Jesus died on the cross from a very young age. And I believed Jesus was God. I believed that Jesus died for my sins and was resurrected from the grave. I had been taught that from a very young age. I believed all the things that I had been taught in church and Sunday school most of my life. So I grew up, and fortunately, this is a good, wonderful thing. I grew up with a head knowledge, an answer to all these questions. I had the answers. I knew who God was. I knew who Jesus was. I knew I was a sinner. I never had a problem knowing that. And I knew what Jesus had done. Yet, I believed all of this. But my life that I lived with all this head knowledge of knowing who God is and what he's done did not reflect what a Christian's life should have looked like by no which way. In fact, my life was controlled by sin. I was living a life of sin, but I had all the knowledge up here, right? I knew these things. I grew up in the church on and off, went to vacation Bible schools. I knew these things. But as I got older and I went into my teenage years and my young adult years, sin dominated my life. I sought all the things of the world. God wasn't my Lord. I was overcome with sin. And I knew this. I knew that sin had a grasp on me in my life. I knew that I didn't want to live this way. I didn't want to be this person. I didn't want to live this life. I wanted to be a different person. But each day, I fell short. I knew I was not the person God called me to be. And I was doing things that was not pleasing to God. Now, I say this because on Resurrection Sunday, I think this is a big part of my testimony. I went from believing at some point, right, having all the knowledge, and I don't know how that works. Did it come to my heart? I mean, that's symbolic. But there was a point in my life where I took all that knowledge, and I truly then surrendered to God. Not just believing, because I believed, but I didn't surrender to God. When I truly cried out and said, I believe, but I also surrender and say, you are my Lord. I know I'm powerless over sin. I know that I can't do this anymore. And I need you. And I surrender to you. And I give myself as a sacrifice for you, and I give you my life. When I did that, when I died to my sin and said, I can't do this anymore. It was then that I joined in that power of that resurrection, I believe. And the Holy Spirit then came upon me and did in my life what I never could do for myself. He transformed me. He started sanctifying me, molding me into the man that he desired me to be. And I've shared this many times. But when we talk about the resurrection, you know, we're worshiping Jesus because he's alive and he was resurrected. But guess what, guys? We join in that. And we have victory in our life through the resurrection. And I missed so much of that. I had all the knowledge, but I wasn't surrendered and I wasn't joining in that resurrection. So today, as we're going to look at the resurrection, we're going to look at the story of the resurrection in Matthew. Also, we talked about this before. We were going to have some water baptisms today, but it didn't work out. But also, as we look at the resurrection, think of the picture of a water baptism. We shared about it just a few weeks ago. As we see the picture, right? As the person goes into the water, he goes into the grave. Just as Jesus was crucified, died for our sins, he goes into the water, and then he comes back. The person is then water baptized, comes back out of the water. He is resurrected with Christ through faith in Christ, a new person born again. This is a symbolism we see in water baptism, but it's the resurrection. So keep this in mind too as we go through this. So we're going to be in Matthew. Does everyone got your Bibles? We have a big Bible lesson today. We're going to have three parts. We're going to have a Bible lesson, and then we're going to have a little bit of an apologetics lesson after the Bible lesson. It's three-part service today. Matthew 28, verse 1. Does anyone need a Bible? Please raise your hand. Does anyone need a Bible? We can get you one. There's a couple hands. All right, they're back there. They're getting that mark. Stephen's got it, and Alyssa's running too. So, English, Chinese, or English? One English so far. If anyone else needs one, they'll be coming up. All right. We'll wait 1 second. He's coming up. Matthew chapter 28. Heavenly Father, as we gather today in celebration of your resurrection, Lord, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to learn more about what you've done for each one of us, Lord, that we serve a living God. And Lord, as we read these passages, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just speak to each one of us, just reveal your truths to each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get my glasses. Matthew chapter 28, let's just begin with the first verse. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. So we just begin right there. We read about these women. This is where we left off last week in Matthew. So we read these women have gotten up very early. And by the way, amazing, all you that showed up for the 6 a.m. service, that was a beautiful service, and it was amazing. And thank you, Mark, for teaching. Just to watch the sunrise, it was absolutely beautiful to see God's creation and the reminder of that. And just like we were there this morning before the sunrise and as the sun rose, these women had got up very early, it says, and they were at sunrise. In Mark's account, Mark chapter 16, 9, it says, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. So let's take a look at a few of these people that were there early in the morning. First, Mary Magdalene was a woman. We know this was a very profound conversion, obviously. The lady was demon-possessed, had been freed from this demon possession. We know that she then became a follower of Jesus, and she was present through Jesus's ministry all the way up through the Passion Week, through his crucifixion, through the trials. She was there as watched Jesus being beaten, watched him being humiliated, was there at the crucifixion. She was there trying to comfort Jesus as she wept and mourned herself as he was crucified. And if you continue to look at Mark's account, you also see that there's Salome was also there. That's the mother of James and John. Then we also see, according to Mark's account, the Mary, because in Matthew's account, it just says Mary was there. But if we look further into the Gospels, we can see this Mary mentioned was the mother of James, son of Alphaeus, Alphesus. Can't say the word now. Anyways, one of the other 12 apostles. So we learn about all these ladies that have now come early in the morning. We know that they had previously gone and they'd purchased these burial spices. And they were actually going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And as they were going, we know that they were unable to go before because of the Sabbath. But now they were there Sunday morning going to the tomb. And in Mark's account, it also says, as they were going, they were talking amongst each other, and they asked, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance from the tomb? So you can imagine these women walking to the tomb, questioning, asking. I mean, this stone was huge. It was very big. There was no way these women were going to be able to remove this stone from the tomb. And I see a lesson already for me, an application for me in verse 1 already. These women had set out with faith. They had looked to anoint Jesus' body. They had bought all the supplies needed, knowing as they went, they had no physical means or way to their knowledge to remove the stone. But they still set it out step by step, just going in faith, assuming that there is some way God would provide for some way for that stone to be removed so they could anoint Jesus' body. I think they were just trusting the Lord. So let's see, as they're walking to the tomb, what's going to take place. Let's look at 2-4. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Oh, thank you. Ooh. She knows me so well, takes care of me. Can you all just place yourself in that story, what we just read? Can you just imagine yourself walking with these women with your anointing spices, with your oil? Imagine how you would be feeling, how these women were feeling. What would be your thoughts as you were coming closer and closer to the tomb? What were you expecting to see? Obviously a closed tomb, with the hope somehow someone would help you remove the stone to see then Jesus crucified laying in the tomb. You could imagine the grief that these women must have experienced. The loss that they were walking through. Questioning, doubting, asking why. Why did this happen? Reflecting on the past. And as they're going in faith to anoint his body, what happens? The ground begins to shake. Now I can say this, we've all experienced an earthquake. I was standing right over there. Mark was with me. I think, was it you that said this is an earthquake? Yeah, it was you or Cal. I think it was you. It's a California guy. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was feeling nauseous or sick. I think many people I spoke to felt that. They felt like they were being like car sickness, maybe. So you can imagine as these women were grieving, walking to the tomb, the ground began to shake. There was an earthquake. We all know what that feels like, everyone here. This would have caused these women, I'm sure, to feel very disorientated. That's what I felt like. And then, inside of this, they arrive at the tomb. Remember, I told you to walk with them. What did they see, though, when they arrived at the tomb? What do you see? The stone had been moved. The tomb, we will see, was empty. And there was angels present. It's quite a story. These angels are described as having faces as bright as lightning. Wow, we had a lightning storm the other day. The flash literally blinds you. It says their clothing was white as snow. This would have been very frightening. In fact, it was so frightening, we read in the last part of the passage, it says, the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. They passed out. These Roman guards, out of fear, passed out. Luke's account says they were not only confused, but in verse 24 or 5, it says the women were terrified and they bowed down to their faces to the ground. So you can get a picture. Can you imagine yourself coming up on the tomb? The stone is rolled away. There's angels there. You're on your face on the ground, bowing. It would have been very fearful. That's a response we see throughout Scripture as we see the presence of angels most often. So let's see what this angel has to say, verses 5 through 7. It says, the angel spoke to the woman, just like we just sang. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. So this angel, there's actually more than one angel there, but here it's referencing the one angel speaking. But the angel begins with instruction. Don't be afraid. He instructs them that they do not have to fear. And then informs them, as he knows why they were there, why they had come, that they were looking for Jesus who had been crucified. I'm sure the angel knew these women likely were not able to speak as their ground, they were so full of fear. The guards had passed out already. So he helped by explaining to them without them even asking all and what had taken place. This messenger, this angel explains to them saying, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. This right here, this statement, he is risen. It's what all of our faith in Christianity is based on. We serve a living, resurrected God. He's alive. We serve a God who not only defeated sin and defeated death, but he's alive. Now, this next part I read in the passage is beautiful. I find it very beautiful because they weren't just simply asked to go and testify of what this angel had said. I mean, this is true. But they were then invited to look inside the tomb themselves and see and witness with their own eyes that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. He is risen. They were then instructed after they have been told by the angel, after they've witnessed with their eyes, then they were instructed by the angel to go. Go out and proclaim and share, he is risen. He is alive. And they went out. And then the angel further tells him, Jesus will meet with you. These women have been given an amazing truth, right? The reason we're all sitting here today. That Jesus is God, that he was crucified, he was buried in the tomb, but now he has risen. And the question I see here is, what were they going to do with this truth that they have been shown from the angels and from their own witness, their own eyes? What were they going to do with that truth that Jesus is alive? What is your response to the resurrection of Jesus? What are you going to do with the truth that you know that Jesus is alive? What are you going to do with that truth? Let's look at verses 8 through 10. It tells us the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy as they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I love these verses. These women, they ran. They ran to share the truth that Jesus is risen. And we see they ran to testify that Jesus is alive. They were full of great joy, but also they were frightened. This is exciting. I think for many of us, it's the same, right? Once we've received and we've placed our faith in Jesus, we become full of joy. We're excited. We want to run out and we want to share the truth. But also, it can be very frightening at times. I mean, I was scared to tell people for quite some time. This is a real story with real emotions. It says, as they went then and shared, that Jesus then met with them. And they then encountered the resurrected physical Jesus. They worshiped him. They touched him. Then Jesus shares with them again and comforts them. Don't be afraid. And go and tell others what has taken place. So we have been given this truth that Jesus is risen. The promise that he had spoken of has been fulfilled. But again, remember that it's more than just believing this, but it's truly placing your faith in Jesus and surrendering to him as Lord. I want to go through a few scriptures as it's Easter, as it's resurrection study. The gospel, the truth. In Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Do we understand and believe that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord? In Romans 5:8, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." We need to remember that God demonstrated his love for each of us while we were sinners, sending his son Jesus to die in our place, to be crucified for each one of us. Then Ephesians 2:8-9, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It is by grace alone that we are each saved. There is nothing we can do to earn this free gift in joining in the resurrection." So we understand, each of us, our need for a Savior. But what about living this life, joining in this resurrection, in this victory? Romans 10:10-13 tells us how each one of us can do this. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we see this is how we are saved, how we are forgiven our sins, how we have everlasting life. It is by placing your faith in Jesus, knowing Jesus is God. Jesus came to this earth as man, as God. He allowed himself to be crucified for our sins, but then 3 days later, defeated sin and death, he is alive. So we join Jesus in his resurrection. Just as Jesus died for each one of our sins, we also die to our sins. Just as Jesus was raised back to life, was resurrected, we also join him in the resurrection and are raised to a new life. We join by faith in this new life, a new life that we're freed from our sins and the power of sin. But there's more even. We're free not only from the penalty of our sins, but we come alive to God through Jesus. We become children of God, and we have the eternal promises given to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." As we celebrate today and look at the resurrection of Jesus, we need to understand and know that we also join in this resurrection. We are also raised from the grave and join in Jesus in defeating sin and death. Knowing that if we each have repented of our sins and placed our faith in Jesus, we are born again. We are resurrected. We are a new creation. And this is available to all in faith as a free gift. Jesus already paid the price on the cross for each one of us. You know, there's many other religions in the world around us. I think many of us are familiar with all the other religions. Many of these religions say and will claim that they know a path, or they'll have instructions, or they'll show you, maybe they could point to how you can be enlightened. Maybe they say, if you do this and you do that, you do these works. But it was only Jesus who came to this earth as God, as man, walked with us, was crucified, paying the price for our sins, was resurrected and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Only through Jesus. I told you the last part of this message is what we call apologetics. As I shared the Matthew 28, the 10 verses about the resurrection, I want to give you 5 points of evidence that we believe in faith, but also I want to show you that there's evidence that he is alive. Beginning with the empty tomb in Matthew 28, 6, it said that he isn't there. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. So this evidence, this empty tomb, do you know that the empty tomb is seen as a historical fact? Even Jesus' enemies, as you would study, they never claimed that the tomb still held his body. They insisted, or they want to invent a story to explain why the body was gone. If the body had been there, it would have just stopped the resurrection story. But the body was gone. He was alive. Instead, all they could try to do was offer another explanation as why the tomb was empty. So the evidence was clear. The tomb was empty. There was eyewitness accounts. We see the women that was there. And then They even met with him later, right? With the resurrected Christ. There's eyewitnesses. And it's interesting how these first witnesses that saw the empty tomb, the first witnesses that saw the resurrected Christ, were women. And we know in Jewish first century Judea in Israel that a woman's testimony at that time wasn't credible in court. So if this resurrection was fabricated, no one would have had these women as the first witnesses. If they were trying to create this story, they would have had someone else, a man or someone of a different stature, be the first witness. But the gospel writers and the Holy Spirit they wrote the truth of what really took place. We also have the angelic announcement. The angels, don't be afraid. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. So these presence of angels provide a divine testimony. They affirm that the resurrection was an act of God. It was divine. A supernatural event had taken place. And there was eyewitness testimony that the tomb was empty. This wasn't symbolic or metaphorical. It was real. Jesus is alive. Also, what you see is worship. The immediate response of worship. They ran to him. The women, they saw Jesus. He was alive. They worshiped him. And the disciples, they ran, they worshiped him. They didn't see a ghost or some other vision. They physically touched the resurrected Jesus. They worshiped him. They believed. They knew he had risen from the dead. And they worshiped him to the point that they were willing to die for the testimony that they give of who he was and that he was alive. Then the command to spread the good news. They were told to go. The resurrection was not kept quiet. It came with a mission. The followers of Jesus went out and boldly proclaimed. And this birthed the early church. They wouldn't have done this if they didn't truly believe and knew that it was true. The resurrection is real. Jesus is alive, and he's with us even today. Today, we're going to take communion. If the ushers would start passing out the bread and the juice, and the worship team would be willing to come up. And as we get ready to take communion, I know that we have some new people here, and I want to make sure and mention and talk about communion for 1 minute. Communion is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus, for those who've called upon Jesus as Lord, for those who have repented of their sins. So please, if you're here today, and you're not yet a follower of Jesus or a believer of Jesus, as the baskets of the bread and the juice, it's not wine, it's juice, as it comes to you, will you please just pass that along this time for now? And also, I want to mention, if there's anyone here today maybe that's struggling, maybe you're not experiencing freedom from sin, or maybe you're not seeing the Holy Spirit's power lived out in your life, take this time to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you and anoint you. And also, if there's anything in your life that is not right before you and God, that you would take care of that now. Also, the Bible is clear. When we take communion, we should also examine our relationships. Of course, first was God, as I was talking about, but we should also examine our relationship with others, with those around us. And if there's any unforgiveness in our hearts or we're holding something against someone, I ask you just let that go right now. Just lay that down before God. Leave that at the altar right now. Give forgiveness. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you before you take communion. So let's take the next few minutes. We'll have a little bit of worship. and that we each just would privately pray and just pray the Holy Spirit would examine us, examine our relationship with God, if there's anything in our life that's not pleasing before Him. Also examine our relationship with others. But especially today, as we take communion, let's take time to really reflect on what Christ has done for each one of us. And that He is alive. And the resurrection is real. Not only is it real that Jesus is resurrected and He's alive, but the main point I see today that we need to remember and walk in, that we join in that resurrection. We are a new creation. We are redeemed. We are no longer that person that was dead in the grave. We, together with Christ, are born again. So often we hold on to our past, who we were. And I think for me, that was a struggle for a lot of my life. I looked back on the things that I had done, and I thought that's who I was. These things, I thought they defined who I was because of the things I had done. I didn't understand that I was redeemed. I didn't understand that I had victory in these things, that I was no longer that same person, that I was a new creation, that I was truly born again. And we do this through the resurrection. We join in Christ in that resurrection. If anyone here has not surrendered their lives to Jesus, just as I shared, maybe you got a head full of knowledge, but maybe you haven't truly surrendered your life and called out to Him as your Father, as your Lord. Let today be that day. Let's everyone bow our heads in prayer. If there's anyone here today that would like prayer, maybe you're struggling with the sin in your life. Maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness. I'd love to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you right now. If there's anyone here just struggling in some area of your life, you would even like to raise your hand. I'd like just to pray over you right now. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? Maybe there's some here today. You know you haven't been walking as God has called you to walk. I see your hand. Heavenly Father, I lift these up to You. They're crying out before You, saying, Abba, Father, I know my life isn't what it should be. And I know who You are and what You've done for me. I just surrender my life before You, Lord. I just ask that Your Spirit just be poured out on each one of us, Lord. Lord, that You would just do a mighty work, Lord, and do the work in our lives that I know that each one of us aren't capable to do, but You are. You're bigger than all these things. Lord, that Your Spirit, Lord, would just work mighty miracles in the lives of these people, Lord. They would surrender before You and say, I can't do this. I know I can't do it. I know who You are. I have the knowledge, but Lord, I want to surrender to You. I want to offer myself as a sacrifice before You. I give myself before You and just say, Lord, I trust You. Do a work in my life. Maybe there's some here today that has never truly proclaimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Don't let this day pass you by. Let today be a day that your sins can be forgiven, that you can receive the promises that Jesus has given us through the resurrection. Is there anyone here today that today would like to raise your hand and say, today, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Today, I want to receive the hope that Jesus has given me. Is anyone here today? Would you be willing to raise your hand? Please come up to me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you and talk to you more about that. Let's just take a few minutes and reflect on what Jesus has done for us to ask the Holy Spirit would just speak to us. So let's just take some time, each one of us, just a few minutes in prayer before we take communion together. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just examine each one of us, Lord. Lord, you just reveal to each one of us, Lord. Just speak to our hearts. Your truth. Speak to us, Lord, if there's anything in our lives, Lord, that is not of you, that we would just turn from that right now. It's right now. We just give that to you, Lord. We just repent of this. And we turn from these things and we turn to you, Lord. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness or bitterness in our hearts, Lord, let us right now just surrender that before you. Let us forgive others as you've forgiven us. And Lord, let us even forgive ourselves. Lord, I know so often, sometimes the most difficult thing I can do is forgive myself. Lord, as you met with your apostles, your followers, on the night of your betrayal, it says here in Scripture in Luke 22:19, it says, he took some bread and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke the bread in pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we just come in obedience to your instruction that you've given us as followers of you. We take this bread as it's been broken as an example of your body and what you've done for each one of us. As we look at it, we see the discoloration, the bruising, and the as you, Lord, allowed yourself to be beaten and mocked for each one of us. Lord, even as I look at this, I see this particular cracker, I see the holes as your side was pierced. And it says, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we come in obedience. We come in worship. And we thank you. We thank you for what you've done for each one of us, being crucified on the cross, taking our place, dying, paying the price for our sins. So we take of this bread now together in observance of what you've done. As you continued the Last Supper, it says, after supper, you took another cup of wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. This agreement is confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Lord, we take this cup of juice. We acknowledge, Lord, what you've done on the cross, that your blood was shed, the innocent lamb, the perfect and righteous one, paying the price for our sins, making a new covenant, fulfilling the old. Lord, given us the promise that we have today through faith of eternal life, being adopted into your family. And today, joining each one of us in the resurrection through you, the promise that we have of eternal life in your Holy Spirit. So we take this cup, we drink. As we witness, we talked about the evidence given to us for the resurrection. You know, each one of us today, we also give evidence of the resurrection. You know that? Each one of us. If we are born again, we're freed from our past. We walk today in freedom. No more guilt, no more shame. We can be bold. Jesus chose these women as the witnesses. God can use each one of you, no matter what your background or who you are. He says, go boldly, proclaim the good news. In the resurrection, we no longer need to be fearful, just faithful. The angel said, do not be afraid. Trust in God's promises he's given us and go in peace and confidence. We also now, in the resurrection, we worship him. We worship him every day. We should be worshiping in everything that we do. We should honor Jesus. And lastly, in the resurrection, we all have a purpose. Jesus said, go and tell, share the good news. Jesus is alive. So after the first communion with Jesus, in Matthew 26:30, it said, they then sang a hymn and went out. So let's everyone stand. Let's worship Jesus. He is risen.